Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
Ebro in the morning, Lars Stiles, Rosenberg, and our brother Common back on the program. He claimed, they gave us a paper, and it says here at the top, Common is ready to share his secret to self-care success.
Yo, man.
The award-winning rapper, actor, and activist has written a new health and wellness book, And Then We Rise.
Yes.
I love the title, by the way.
Thank you.
Which will be released January 2024. People exclusive reveals. This is according to People. And you talk about during the pandemic, you focused on putting out good energy, blah blah blah, cooking healthy meals, working out, personal trainer, Yancey Berry. I actually talked to you with Lauren Vonderpool about eating green and you know what I mean, getting away from animal products. And
wait, are you vegan?
Yeah, I'm vegan, but I've been back and forth with like fish and eating vegan, but. This whole thing is, to me, is just about like, man, what can I do to take care of myself?
Right.
I'm like, this book ain't like about me. It's kind of like, okay, I'm telling some of the stories of things. Like the first time I even heard a vegetarian was through KRS-One saying that in my philosophy.
Right.
So I didn't start off like just drinking green drinks, but I'm talking about my experiences so I can like encourage people to be like, yo, what can I do to take care of myself? Because with all this going on in the world and all the things is like, you know, this the division and all the stuff we hear over and over. I feel like the one thing that we got is ourselves, like to be able to like get our minds in the, like this is not just like only about eating too. It's like it's about, okay, like mental health, like having therapy. I definitely have used therapy and continue to. It's also about like making sure spiritually I'm sound, you know, and got that foundation and how they all connect. So I kind of just wanted to, I felt like I've been blessed to have access to certain things like Lauren Vonderpool, who's
she
a chef,
DC,
a vegan
by the way,
chef.
Too, yeah,
yeah, she's from D.C.
Is she a nutritionist? What does she do?
I think, I mean, she is a nutritionist now, but she's a chef.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and she's from like the hood in D.C., but she, you know, evolved into learning her things and spreading the word too. It's kind of, to me, it's a way for us to help out our communities, but just help ourselves and just, that's why I called it And Then We Rise. It's like, yo, the higher I get within myself, the more I can raise up my family and my loved ones. So anyway, that's what the book is on. And, you know, like I never was taught about self-love early on. Them ain't words I heard. And I think like the more and more I hear that, I'm like, yeah, that's what I need to be applying. Like the confidence that I always wanted in myself or the things that I like wanted to put out in the world if without me taking care of myself. Like I say, it ain't no activism without self-activism. You
right.
know, like, I could be doing a lot of things, but if I ain't giving that love to self, and I'm talking about the simple things, like, people be like, man, I can't afford a chef. But I'm like, yo, you can get up in the morning and decide, I'm going to take this time to chill and pray or read something that reinforces me. Before I get online, before I do anything, I'm going to do something for myself. A little push-ups, workouts, you know, a walk, you know, simple things. Adding some water and
even like vegetables. A 5-minute meditation.
Yo, I do a meditation. It's only about 2 minutes. It ain't like, you know.
But it's a little something.
It's a little something.
And
all this stuff is like, I just picked up stuff. Yo, Ebro, when you was talking, when we was talking with Lauren, you was like, yo, you said do not underestimate rest.
Oh yeah, we have a lot of rest talk.
Talk is yo, and that resonated with me. I pick up things, and I just like, okay, what resonates? What keeps me like?
Well,
and
the thing
highest?
About rest, right, is a lot of times people go, you know, I get a great night's sleep, right, which is cool, right, and great. Let me not even say it's cool; it's great. But leading into that sleep, did you have a proper wind down, or did you just like fall asleep? Like you were so exhausted, you just went like, and like fell apart, right? Preventing that, you know, failure in your physical before you actually get into it, and you can actually ease into that sleep by laying down, maybe a 2-3 minute meditation, calming down, you know what I mean?
Like not scrolling your phone for an hour before you fall asleep.
Like put your phone down and just like vibe for a second with yourself. But some people, too many people have never been taught how to do that. Like,
man,
one of the things that I often ask people that are, I can't sleep, is, can you sit still and be quiet, do nothing for 10 minutes?
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to meditate, but can you literally just sit, think for 5 to 10 minutes? And there's so many people who cannot do that.
Or they can't go to sleep without the TV being on.
Right.
Man, I love being able to get still, man. And point blank, the pandemic kind of, like, helped me in that way, where it was like, oh, man, I really love, because I used to think, man, I got to always be on the move to be successful. Mm-hmm. Like, this is how we do it. We grind. And then, you know, the pandemic sat us all down, and it was like, man, this feels good to just have some time to, like, breathe and, like, okay, what am I going to do for the day? And, like, sometimes I had nothing to do for the day. Them days are incredible. And, like, going over to London, you know, working and stuff, I was like, man, these people, man, take what they call holidays. They don't, like, work like we work. Like, they don't put, like, all those hours in. They make sure. I seen people on the set of Silo who I know is, like, working on a crew. They ain't making a lot of money, tell me, like, yo, we're about to take 30 days to go on this trip and just, like, take a holiday. I'm like, how can you afford that? But they make sure that they just able to do that for themselves.
Meanwhile, like, even when we know people, ourselves included, who can afford it, we don't do it.
We don't do it.
Because we feel like we have to go all the time.
Point blank. I remember, I talk about it in the book, where one time I was sitting, it was a dinner with, like, Nas and Jay-Z and Steve Style. We was all sitting around, Jay-Z was saying, like, man, something about a vacation or whatever. And I was like, man, I don't be taking no vacation. He was like, what? You tripping. Like, what's up with you, bro? Like, it ain't about that. You got to, like, take some time to yourself. And I was like, I was listening, like, you know, when he's saying something, I'm like, okay, let me listen to this brother.
It seems like things have worked out well.
Exactly. So it's like, you know, learning those things. We learn from a lot of people. One of my good friends, one of my best friends, was like, speaking of going to sleep, he was like, man, before you go to sleep, just say some good things about yourself. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, I never even thought about that. But if it works for you, like, to me, self-care and self-love is really about what works for you. Like, and what your vision for yourself is. Like, where Rosenberg, where I want to get to? Like, this, and you might say, okay, well, this vegan lifestyle ain't for me, but maybe this is drinking this water for these days, or me meditating here, or, you know, some people like to walk, some people like to exercise, some people, you ride the bike, some people, you know, it's just choosing the things that's going to work for you to be your highest self.
But if you don't give yourself anything, I have one close, very close friend in particular, who I'm always on about taking care of himself.
Yeah.
He's very successful, works super hard, never stops.
Yeah.
And whenever I try to be like, maybe you could get an hour a week, whether it's a trainer, a therapist, any version of it. I'm not even telling you. I'm just saying one
thing.
Because you invest so much time in other things, but if you don't invest 1 hour a week in just your physical well-being, mental health, how can you ever expect it to be good?
Dude, I'd be like, man, I don't care how early I got to do something in the morning. I get up and make sure I got my time to myself. Because, man, we get up in the day and we giving a lot, like the work we do. But just people. Like, you at a job, you doing this, you giving a lot. Like, if you feed yourself, you'll be that much better in all you're doing. So that's what I'm on.
Well, listen, man, we're proud of you.
Thank you.
You know, we're happy for you. Thank you. And it's a part of this journey, inclusive of your new relationship.
I knew it was gonna be a nasty transition.
What I was really gonna do is go, well, is this what you went on your woman's show to talk about? And then she ended up asking you, were you in a relationship? And I was like, why is she setting dude up like that?
Well, you know,
she wanted to see how you was gonna answer? Or you knew this was gonna happen.
No, it was more, I think it was more like, okay, this is what's going on. Let us just express it how we want to express it. And it was, you know, on her show.
So it absolutely wasn't, ladies, he's mine now, and I'm going to show you he's mine.
No, I think she was more like, you know, people seeing us out. You know, we both kind of private people in that way. Chicago, man, we hold it down, you know what I'm saying? But so it was more like, let's just, you know, let's have fun. be ourselves, but, you know, this is the way we gonna express what's going on.
Are you guys official, like, in Chicago? Are you guys, like, a power couple now? It's like Michelle, Barack, Jennifer, Rasheed.
That double date could happen.
It could.
That could happen for real, but...
that's crazy.
Let me say this. We proud to both be from Chicago, and I always respected... Like, when I first saw her, I was like, man, she is dope. Like, she come from Inglewood, like, that ain't no joke, man. And I was like, this woman got something about her that's soulful. But, you know, we never connected in that way. And then, you know, we did some work together, but not a lot. And now it's just like, man, it's just somebody who I truly do respect. We building, you know, keeping it chill, you know, I don't talk too much about it, but I'm grateful. And it is dope to be from, it's something about somebody from, you know, when you meet people from where you from, you kind of, y'all got an unspoken, like, language that's there. And it's something about that's kind of cool, man, because I don't think I've been in a relationship with anybody from Chicago and since high school.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, that's real.
So it feels like home. Like, this feels...
Man, it's a great space. Like, she definitely is, you know, just... Certain things we've grown up, we can reference Chicago radio, Chicago music, certain food places. But just beyond that, it's like, you know, because in life, when you're choosing people you want to be around, you want people that have values that you share, you know. And, you know, more than anything, I think she's just a really good human being, like, and a good person. And, like, you know, I seen... her on a movie set that we were working on. We did this film called Breathe, and man, the way she was treating people, I was like, I love when I'm around people who, like, have status and blah blah blah, but they just human beings.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So you know, she got that down to earthness that I feel a lot of Chicagoans carry.
She gonna be on a song, on an album, or, you know?
Man, we thinking about something right now that will work, you know, because, man, when I do music, I don't care who you are, it gotta fit. But we got something that I think is definitely right for her.
Okay.
And we're going to take it some places.
So now, and on that, there is music that you're making. Can you talk about who you're working with?
Yeah, I'm working with Pete Rock, the legendary Pete Rock, the timeless Pete Rock. And, man, it's like, this music, you know, with us going through that 50th year of hip-hop, just celebrating all that music, you know, we were there at Yankee Stadium, just watching. I was like, man, hip-hop is just amazing, man. Like, to hit, like, it revitalized certain things in me, and also just made me know it's an audience out there that just want hip-hop, that loves hip-hop, like, and loves rhymes and stuff. So, man, I got inspired, and Pete and I have been talking about doing something. But we had only did, like, The Bitch and You, and I rhymed on one of his first solo releases.
Pete did one of the seminal diss records.
What do you mean? Yeah. You didn't realize that's...
Pete.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember it now that he says it, but it wasn't like a part of my...
Yeah.
Pete Rock did that.
It didn't sound like a normal Pete Rock beat.
It did. It did. Doom, doom, doom. Because that was at the time when he was still in his horn bag.
Yeah.
And kind of that stuff. Yeah, exactly. And then with that, it was super slow.
It just had a bass line,
yeah,
but it was different.
Line.
Yeah. But
is this project, both of you, the whole album is going to be Pete Rock Common?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, okay, okay.
And it's like, what I'm realizing just is how much, like, when you've been ingrained in hip-hop so much and soul music, like, how much you just breathe it, you live it. Like, I'm working with him, and I'm watching him chop up beats and chop up samples, and I'm like, man, and the music feel like it could exist in any era of greatness. It's making me realize that, and just I'm just having enjoying it. These rhymes is real. Yo, Ebro ain't gonna forget me on the top 50 list no more after this.
I forgot that was another one of your glaring errors.
I'll forget that.
Him and Q-Tip.
You left Q-Tip?
You left Q-Tip.
Yeah, yeah. That was the handwritten joint that we did that one morning when we were just rushing through it, and I threw it on Instagram.
Yeah.
But now, so...
Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
When you see Andre 3000 and you see like these artists that we love making pivots, musical pivots, and you've made musical pivots, went on tangents too.
Yeah.
Never as far as a flute.
Never as far as playing flute, but you stood in yarn pants on the front lawn.
No, he wore the yarn pants. He went into like weird Pharrell, like Pharrell experimental.
I was in my own.
No, but that's cool.
Yeah, it was.
Even right now, there's a lot of celebration for what we're seeing with Andre 3000, right? Yeah. Like I think it's a my personal and is that. You know, this is a precursor to more. I think what you reported, he's going on tour now.
Yeah.
Nice. We're going to see him now. So I'm sure there's some raps he's got in the stash.
Yeah, well, listen. First of all, it's just great to hear something from Andre. To me, I mean, of course I want to hear his raps. But that dude has been such a creator. Like, if you think about Love Below, man, he just went places. He was singing on that mostly. And the rhymes he kicked was amazing. But, man, the dude is just one of them... one of the most talented dudes we've experienced in our generation. So when I put on that flute album, I was like, yo, this joint is dope to me. And I remember a couple of producers hitting me up like, man, you could loop some of this.
Oh, yeah. it's right.
Like, it's right. So, I mean, I'm glad that he putting out music. I was glad to see him doing interviews because, you know, it's people like him, like D'Angelo and like Lauryn Hill, that I just loved. Like, they're some of my favorite artists. Mm-hmm. And obviously, Andre is one of the greatest MCs ever. So when he gets to rapping, we gonna be geek.
Is he one? I know it's hard to ask other MCs this, but is he one of those MCs who sometimes you hear him do something and you're like, I don't even understand how this dude does what he does.
Oh man, him and Nas for me are the two that I'd be like, damn. Like, I wish I wrote that. Like, some of the ways they approach, like, Peninsula, maybe. But, you know, like, when he, like, just words Dre will say, or I was thinking that I was playing, you know, New York State of Mind, and it's just one of the greatest lines ever written is, beyond the walls of intelligence, life is defined. Mm-hmm. I think a crime when I'm in a New York state of mind.
Crazy.
That's like... beyond the walls of intelligence. That's like poetry.
Yeah.
That's like American literature that will... If we just wrote that down, and when they put that next to James Baldwin and Nikki Giovanni, those words will last.
Yeah.
Those words are timeless. I'm like...
And he was like 17 when he wrote
that. I know, and then you think about how old he was at that time.
I know. So I love hearing that. I love hearing when Cass is rhyming on that level. Even though I'm like, damn, I wish I'd have wrote it, that's what always sparked me to get better. When I heard Nas, I knew, I was like, oh, Nas made everybody step it up, but Dre 3000 is like one of them dudes where you like, man, how you think of that? Where did he come from with that? And how honest he is. But he'll tell a story about him being at Whole Foods, and then you like, damn, this joint is dope.
And it's also like the detail. Detail, the textures, like it's very vivid.
Well, remember, and he went on that feature run. The main one everyone talks about is Walk It Out.
Yeah.
But it wasn't just Walk It Out. He went through a feature run, like where it seemed like for fun.
16 Ain't Enough, he did that.
And every one he customed to what the record was and would body single time.
Like, it was like, he one of them guys like where you like, man, if you get on a song with him, you gotta really be at your greatest because... Everybody, you know, because this competition in this point blank. So, you know, everybody gonna go to his verse. So you got to do something.
Do you ever, speaking of competition, do you ever, like, I wonder if you end up in rooms where you get to show off properly about the legendary producers that you've had, not like a moment with, but like you have real, real joints with Pete, Premier, Dilla, Kanye, Pharrell. Yeah. I don't want to leave out. There are plenty more.
No ID.
No ID. Oh my God, no ID, of course. Yeah. So, like, that's it. Do you ever think about how crazy it is, how charmed a hip hop life you sort of lived?
Man, I mean, I was writing one of these joints for the joint Pete and I doing, and I was like about to shout out some of the producers I work with, and I really kind of thought, like, man, I've worked with Ye. I work with Pharrell.
You didn't just work with Ye. It should be noted.
Ye in his prime.
You elevated Ye Like you said, my daughter found Nemo. I found the new Primo. You know what I mean? And he was still in that transition from being a Rockefeller guy to being like the guy.
Yeah.
So you played a big part in that. That wasn't just a nothing.
But man, it was iron sharp as iron for sure. Cause I definitely feel like, you know, we were contributing to each other. He wrote about that in this table book. He was like, man, when you get into any type of connection, yo, that person should be adding on to you. You should be adding on to them. And he said how I had added on. I definitely feel like, you know, my taste and some of the beats that, I mean, the loops, the samples I was bringing around was inspiration. But he obviously elevated my songs to a whole nother level.
But you were coming off Dilla too, so you're coming off like Water for Chocolate.
Yeah, and Electric Circus.
And Electric Circus. So you've gotten all this experience with these other dudes.
Yeah,
and then you kind of bring that.
Bring that to, oh man, like to this day, I remember like Kanye coming over to the crib where Dilla and I stayed, and then it was like at one point, you know, Dilla had a little bit. He was like, Kanye would sample some of Dilla's drums off his beat tapes.
Well, he openly has admired Dilla's drums.
Yeah, like, yeah, right. So, but anyway, Ye came over. It was Mother's Day, and we were going to Mother's Day like brunch. Me and Ye and his mother and my mother, and then Dilla was. We was at the crib, and Ye came in, and Dilla was talking to him, and they was just bonding, and then Dilla gave Ye these drums on a record. Like, he gave him a record with these drums. He's like, take these drums. And I promise you, Ye was like, it was like the golden chalice. Like, he was just like, he went to the studio. We went to the studio later that day, and Ye was like, telling like G and all them, like, yo, Dilla gave me these drums. I forgot what song it ended up being, but as soon as we got there, he was working on those.
I don't know that people know that they actually had interaction like that. You actually watched them have a conversation.
I know. It was in our front room. Yeah, they was just it was love. Like Dilla had a lot of love for Ye.
Yeah,
and Ye had love for Dilla. So it was great to see like somebody who is as great as Ye just be like, damn, Dilla gave me these
like
joints.
The reverence.
Yeah, like the reverence and love. So, and man, I'm like, I've been able to work like with Quest. Questlove is a genius when it comes to just putting together projects. Like, he is a visionary that is unprecedented what he can do, like, as far as just seeing it, whether it's a performance, it could be a freaking book, it could be a album. Because even to this day, I talk to him about, like, yo, I want you to help me sequence this album, because he's just that type of dude. So to be able to work with him, No ID, high tech, man. Cats be bringing up, like, even Pete was like, yo, 199, man. Like, we, like, yo, he was like, yo, I need to give you one of those. I was like, yeah, give me one of those.
Yo, 1999 and Sun God.
Sun God, man.
I mean, those are two hammers from high tech.
Yo, I was geeked. High tech was just, you know, he was from Cincinnati, and that's where I kind of started with my cousin writing my first rap, so I would always be like, yo, Cincinnati means something to me, Tech. And then he eventually, you know, I got to be on the song with Black Star, with Quan, you know, Respiration.
Yeah.
But then High Tech, I was, at the time I was doing those joints with High Tech, I was trying to figure out where I was getting signed with label, like, because I just got off of Relativity, and I was like, okay, what's going to happen? You know, I just moved to New York. High Tech was giving me them beats. I was like, oh, I'm about to.
But did you consider signing with Raucous outright or no?
I did at one point. I did, but I loved how Raucous was doing it at the time, because you just do one offs, and it was kind of like what the music industry became at one point, like the independent artists. We had it was nobody in there sitting up there saying, "Yo, you got to bring out this song at this time," or "This is what go put this feature on your album or on this song." They let the artist be the artist, and really you chose what single you wanted to come out with, and they just did it. It was like, it was just for the love of the music, but they just knew how to do it well.
But in the end, you decided it didn't make sense to sign with, like, an indie? Did you just...
Yeah, I mean, I think it was like, at the time, MCA, the Roots were really talking to me about, like, man, you should sign with over here. Like, it's good. And they had just signed Yasin. He had a label deal over there. And they were, and Wendy Goldstein was the A&R. She just was smart. And I just felt like it would be a chance to get. And the Roots was kind of really like, yo, bro, come on over here.
And they were hot at that time, and they were like the MCA act in that moment.
Yeah. So it was like, you're going to get that type of love, and she know the music, and you'll be able to do what you want to do. And that's when we did like Water for Chocolate.
It worked out.
Amazing project.
Worked out. Thank you, man. Appreciate that.
Were you privy to this recent Most Def internet moment?
Yeah, I did.
With the whole Drake thing, what do you make of that? We debated it a bunch on here about, like, you know, and not so much even on Drake, right? Like, everybody happy. He's great. We like his music. He's, you know what I'm saying? You guys have had your back and forths or whatever, but just hip-hop being pop music.
Right.
Specifically what Most was talking about, consumerism in rap and all these things. And I thought of it because of, you know, the Roots song, What They Do. You guys were just talking about. And this idea of hyper-consumerism in rap, you know, or specifically like trying to be everything to everybody and all of these kind of touch points that was in that convo. What's your opinion on that?
Well, you know, I wrote a song called I Used to Love Her, and that joint was really speaking to that to a certain degree. Like, at that time, like, what? Like, when it started becoming real corporate and losing the purity of it. I think now, you know, artists can be artists, meaning, like, everything is... Some people, like, if their intention is to just be the pop artist, then so be it. I think, you know, to me, I think Drake comes from hip-hop. Like, when I first heard him rhyming, I was like, yo, this dude rhyming. Yeah. And he was, you know... And if he goes out and makes songs that are popular, that's what it is.
But he's still an MC.
And also, Drake's never Pitbull. He never went Flo Rida Pitbull with the pop.
No, listen. I mean, the dude is an incredible songwriter. He's an incredible artist, man. Yeah. Like, you can't touch that many people without having some type of... Especially on a... You know, for a long enough period of time as he's been doing it. Like, it's pop artists, excuse me, it's pop artists that you know, they have a hit and it's gone and you forget, oh, who was that? But I mean, this man has touched different aspects of culture, like, and been able to continue to do it. So, you know, you gotta have some respect and know that, like, yo, this dude is a very talented artist.
The same time, I think you said it, Rosenberg. You know, everything's right in the world when Most Def has a problem with someone like Drake's consumerism. Like, that's Most isn't supposed to.
Right.
That's who Yasiin Bey is.
It's very on brand for him. Yo,
Yasiin, and Yasiin is a genius, man. Like, I've been around that dude, and I'm like, and I've watched him as an actor, as an artist, and I listen to a lot of his raps and be like, yo, this dude is, he's like very, like, high level when it comes to, like, poetic rap and just, not even just poetic rap, but I'm saying he has poetry within his rap. And just can style on anything. He could do a lot.
Even the style of the clip in which he was talking ish about Drake, within that, he was being funny and performative. And even if I didn't really agree with what he said, but I still was entertained to watch him do it.
That's what, and one thing, Most Def, Yasiin is not gonna hold his tongue. He's a warrior.
If he gets asked, he's answering.
He's gonna answer. And like you said, he did it with his personality, all that charisma, and just he witty.
So many skews. Yeah. Everything.
But I feel like, man, we know hip hop, like, to me, hip hop, because I was talking about it with one of my guys. He was like, well, what's rapping? What's hip hop? But I always looked at hip hop as like this culture, and rap is a part of hip hop. Like, that's, you know, it's,
I couldn't agree with, and people love to always say, like, I'll see this in my comments, and I never want to disagree with the people because I know their heart is in the right place, but they'll be like, yeah, but that's rap, and they're talking about hip hop. I'm like, that whole delineation, rap is a part of hip hop.
It's a part of hip hop, man.
Rap is the oral expression of the culture.
Of hip hop.
Of hip hop, man. Yeah. Simple as that. Like, I mean, you got DJing, you got graffiti, you got, you know,
which are different expressions in art, different expressions in hip hop.
Now, listen, do I wish every artist was like Common, who performed at Hip Hop 50 at like 2 p.m. and sat there watching the show until midnight? Yeah, I wish that other artists were more like that.
Cared enough.
No, like, literally, he was just in a zone by himself in the middle of Yankee Stadium where anyone could come up and talk to him and took in the entire show for 10 hours. Do I wish everyone had that love? Yes. I'm not talking about Drake specifically. Maybe he would. I don't know. Yeah. I know generally we don't see that from everyone.
Yeah.
And I think it's wonderful that you have that, but that's not everybody.
Yeah, that's and man, I mean, I ain't gonna front. Like, I feel like when I listen to a Drake, I listen to a Chance, I listen to a Kendrick, you could tell they love the art form.
They're of it.
They love, they come, yeah. they come from it. They love it. Like, they that's what it is. And you know, for me, Kendrick is like, in any era, he's one of the greatest MCs, just point blank. And I think, yo, when you
so
start...
So you're putting Kendrick in your top five?
I would have to... you know, well, my top five is like kind of from the era that I grew up.
No, yeah. I just wanted to challenge you real quick. Top 20.
For sure. Like, I mean, I would have to say top 10 at least. At times, he's been in my top five just by me being like real honest with what... if I look over the scope of hip-hop, I got to say Kendrick, like, how many people have had four albums where, like, the lyrics are that great? You making different type. Them albums ain't the same. They different.
Yeah.
And, man, this dude, I mean, won a Pulitzer Prize. I know that, like, maybe people were like, oh, well, that ain't hip-hop, whatever. But that's, man, that shows you your writing has went to a whole nother, like, stratosphere if that many people are recognizing what you do as an MC, as a writer. So, but what I was about to say about hip-hop, though, to me, it's like, man, we just like what we like, man. It's okay to be like, man, some stuff I ain't into. And this, and if somebody now, their expression of hip-hop is what it is, then, man, that's their interpretation of it. We can't, like, really, I can't really say, man, that ain't hip-hop to me, because that's that person expressing what they want, what they feel like is hip-hop to them. Whether they calling it rap, hip-hop, that's them expressing it.
And it's happened at so many different times in hip-hop that people forget, right? Luke Skywalker and the Two Live Crew came out. People was trying to act like that wasn't hip-hop. Cash Money came around. There was discussions that wasn't No Limit. There was discussion, oh, that ain't hip-hop because it was from a different place or different geography or whatever. So this always happens.
Yeah.
The other thing that always happens is people try to, like, splinter hip-hop into these subcategories that are like, oh, you know, that's trap, that ain't rap, or that's trap, that
drives
ain't
you crazy too.
Or that ain't,
like, it's its own genre altogether.
Like, it's all hip-hop, man. At the end of the day, I mean, it's either you like it or you don't. Or if
it's
you
good
like,
or it's bad.
Like, yeah, it's
you,
like,
whatever.
You know, it's all right, man. If it's all food, sometimes you don't like, you might not like, I don't like macaroni and cheese. People be like, damn, man.
Wait, what?
How you gonna be black and not like macaroni and cheese?
You and Mark Lamont Hill.
Yeah,
that was a crazy
Hill
take from Mark.
Yeah.
Venom for mac and cheese on Thanksgiving.
I know.
Like, I've never even seen anything like it.
Yeah, no. Nah, I mean, my point is, like, yo, we ain't gonna like everything.
So, wait, you don't like cheese on pasta?
Well, he's a vegan,
baked?
Too.
Well, I used to love cheese, but I still, like, I like the vegan cheese. Now, Chef Lauren Vanderpool gets down on that vegan cheese. But
me and her wife make a mean vegan mac. She's mostly vegan, too.
But I don't, the mac and cheese never did it for me, bro. Like, I don't know.
Even
what
when
it,
you was on?
Younger growing up, I never. I'm like collard greens and candy
too.
Yams.
That's
you
good
know?
Too. All that's good too. Yeah. But
maybe just you don't like the actual macaroni. That's pasta.
So you don't like pasta?
I love pasta.
He just doesn't
like
that combination.
That noodle.
And that lack of sauce. Like, you're going to just cheese.
It's
you're not getting
cheese
the sauce.
And it's no sauce. I like marinara sauce or something that goes pesto sauce or something. You know.
See, we all have different flavors.
Yeah, flavors, man. It's in the concept of hip hop.
You might not be hip hop.
All this mac and cheese talk.
All this mac and cheese.
Yo, give it up for our brother Common, man. Get that new book, and then we rise out everywhere right now.
Thank you, man.
Thank you, brother.
Love
y'all.
Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.